Welcome to The Craft Life. In every episode, we'll dive deep into the rabbit hole of all things branding and marketing within the craft beer industry. Be prepared to be injected with tips, processes, and ideologies from those in the industry that are executing in a unique and creative fashion. If you're looking for ways to cut through all that noise and find or redefine your craft by creating long-lasting impressions, memorable experiences, all while having consistency in your attitude, belief, and values, then The Craft Life is a good fit for your life. Let's get crafting. Welcome, everybody, to The Craft Life, episode number one. Today, I'm here with one of the owners, founders of the famous Boca Brewery, Barrel of Monks. And today's episode will revolve around Barrel of Monks' belief in collaboration with other breweries on crafting a craft beer and their beliefs of collaboration, either it's more important than competition. And lastly, we'll wrap it up with how does collaboration on a craft beer help a brewery in its branding? But before we get started and announce today's special guest of episode one of The Craft Life, let's talk about their super cool brewery and what they're all about. And to set a little suspense to who we have on the line with us. So Barrel of Monks, if you haven't heard of them, is a brewery that strives to be something different in the Sunshine State, which you guys definitely lead the way in. Especially in a market that's like kind of dominated right now with IPAs and new popular style of beers that are popping up daily. Barrel of Monk sticks to their roots of brewing with inspirational and historical ales from Belgium, with a nicely sprinkled of sunshine from the state of Florida. And they're all, you know, state of an art brewery down here in Boca. So Barrel of Monks was basically started by four good friends who came together and created a concept that's, you know, that's not even found really in the United States, which is a brewery that makes exclusive style beers strictly focused on combining of traditional techniques with modern technology. So without further ado, drum roll, please. Let's introduce today's special guest, Kevin Abbott. Kevin is the director of operations responsible for all aspects of operation of Barrel of Monks, to include sales, production, and staffing. Do you also do marketing as well?
Yeah, I kind of oversee pretty much every aspect of the business. So marketing, sales, I used to be a brewer. So I've kind of had my thumb in a lot of different pies.
Well, without further ado, thank you, Kevin, for joining us on The Craft Life. Before we get into the questions, let's talk about you. Let's tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got involved into craft beer itself.
So that's actually pretty interesting. So I was working in bars and restaurants for years and years. I was in the hospitality industry. I moved down to South Florida from Detroit, Michigan in the early 2000s. And I got into the wine side of things pretty quickly. I became a wine steward at a bar in Delray Beach, a bar restaurant in Delray Beach. And I was there for about 7 years. So I kind of fell in love with wine and spirits. I did all the beer, the wine, the liquor ordering. I cultivated the wine list and things of that nature. And wine was a gateway into beer for me, because I met a guy who was a home brewer who told me one day, pretty flat out and unapologetically, beer is a more complex beverage than wine. And I thought he was insane, because I had a 700 bottle wine list where some of the bottles went for over $1,000 a pop. And I kind of scoffed at that. I said, you show me a $1,000 bottle of beer and then we'll talk. And after he just kind of kept on me, asking me to teach him about wine and telling me he'd teach me about beer, he taught me up. He schooled me on how complex beer was and the different ingredients and the use of those ingredients and fermentation times and temperatures and pretty much everything there has to be. And I became a home brewer, and I started doing it myself in my garage. And I was the original head brewer at Funky Buddha Brewery when we opened in Boca many years ago now. And I went from being a home brewer to brewing commercially on the small system in Boca Raton, and then commissioned the big system in Oakland Park when we grew into that spot. And then ended up going off working for Due South for a couple years, or a year and a half, out of Boynton Beach, before my partners and I, who were good friends before all this all happened, decided that they wanted to make a Belgian-style brewery, and they wanted to have a partner that could come in as a head brewer and had some experience in the industry. So that's a pretty quick synopsis.
Oh, very nice, man. Very nice. It's very cool that you actually started with Funky Buddha. That's awesome.
Yeah. I mean, we literally, the owners at that time and Ryan Sense and Jim Bast were people that I had known socially. And they said, hey, we're starting a little brewery out of our hookah lounge and craft beer bar. And I just kind of raised my hand. I'm like, I'll brew your beer for you. And we were homebrewers. We didn't know a lot of what we learned on the job and got a lot of inspiration and help from people throughout the industry. It was a much smaller industry then, and we kind of just learned as we went, and they went on to be a behemoth and a mammoth, and they've done pretty well for themselves. And it's really inspiring and interesting to have been a part of that from the ground floor.
Oh, definitely. That's wow. It's very inspirational. So let's go into, like, so how did you, Bill, Keith, and Matthew, who are the co-founders of Grown Monk, you know, come together and it was like, hey guys, let's create a Belgium inspired brewery down here in Florida. Like, what went into that?
So Bill, Matt, and Keith knew each other before I knew them. They actually met me when I was brewing at Funky, and they were part of the Book of Beer Lovers, which was a homebrew group, and they were making beers on their back patio for years. I mean, before craft brewing or homebrewing was popular, they were homebrew. And these are guys who, two of them are radiologists that work out of Boca. Keith was an entrepreneur, a business person who owned a restaurant equipment company. And so they wanted to open a brewery, and they had, all three of them had traveled to Belgium many times. They fell in love with the Belgian beer styles. When Florida was a craft beer wasteland, when all you could get was maybe a Dogfish Head 60, down here, they were brewing Belgian styles on their back patio because they couldn't get their hands on them. So they kind of fell in love with the style. They loved the idea of trying to do one thing really, really well. And when I came on, it was really, I was friends with them, social friends, and we get together and drink beers. And when I came into the picture, I hadn't made a lot of Belgians, but I very similarly loved the idea of being very specific, trying to not be all things to all people. And I think that's an important thing. And we're seeing a lot of that in the industry now, where we have a sister brewery named Odd Breed Wild Ales out of Pompano that mm-hmm. we're partners in. And they only do wild and sour ales, right? All barrel-aged sours. And we're seeing a lot more of that over the country, all throughout the country, all over the world, because I always put it to this, you know, if you want great Thai food, you probably don't go to, you know, Cheesecake Factory. It's not that they don't make a good Thai dish, but you want to go to a Thai restaurant. And we kind of felt that way about Belgians. It's, if you want a great Belgian style ale, you should go to somebody that focuses on it, that uses multiple different yeast strains, that understands the difference of fermentation temperatures, that has a lab that can count yeast and have good pitch rates and understand yeast health and how it throws off esters and phenols. So I think that the excitement and the opportunity to do all that was what brought me into the mix with some guys that have been wanting to do this and itching to do this for years.
So that idea came before you got with them, or it was kind of a collaboration between all four of you guys?
Oh no, they were going to make a Belgian brewery with or without me. So that was their passion, and they really taught me. I'll be honest with you, I was a craft beer fan, but mm-hmm. as I mentioned earlier, I didn't make a lot of Belgians, and I wasn't a fanatic by any stretch of the imagination. In fact, I thought most Belgian beers were kind of one dimensional, and it was these my friends Bill, Keith, and Matt that taught me. Oh, wait a minute. Belgian beer isn't one-dimensional. American brewed Belgian beer tends to be one-dimensional because they all use the same strain of yeast. They all ferment at the exact same temperature. All the beers taste like banana and bubblegum, and they're all under-attenuated. And now that's not the case with all. There's tons of great breweries throughout the United States that do great, great Belgians. I'm not saying that we're the only one that's doing them well, because that's not true. But when you don't know a lot about fermentation and you're not focusing on these, that flavor profile tends to come up. And that's what I thought Belgian beer was. And they taught me different and really got me to fall in love with the styles that now we've been making for over 5 years.
God, that's awesome. Awesome story. And one of my favorite ones are, I'm a stout guy. So was it Parade of the Souls?
Mm-hmm.
That's
Parade of Souls.
Yeah, that's my beer right there. Absolutely.
Well, thank you. That's a beer that we're very proud of. And that was one of the first, that beer was actually made for the first time in our first couple months. So that was one of our launching beers.
Oh, wow.
Five years ago. Yeah.
Yeah. That's my go-to right there.
Thank you.
All right. So let's get into the marketing branding topic of the day. So there's a lot of collaboration that goes on in craft brewery. Do you think that collaboration is more important than competition if somebody's starting their brewery or if someone hasn't done much collaboration? And what's your thoughts on that? And what's Barrel of Monks kind of approach to that?
Well, I'm going to cop out here because it's a really complex kind of answer. Yeah, I don't know if one is more important than the other. I don't even know if there's a lot of overlap with it. And I'll kind of explain like my thought process. So the best case scenario for collaboration, the best, absolute best case scenario is you have a brewery that you know. For instance, Barrel of Monks has done collaborations now with MIA. We've done collaborations with Copper Point, with Due South. We've done collaboration with Seventh Sun Brewery off the West Coast. So we've done two collaborations with Belgian breweries, Abbey de Roc and Fort Le Pin, right? So, but we've had relationships with all those people previously. These are friends of ours, or I worked for Due South before. So it was us wanting to get together and have fun and spend some time together and make a beer together. That is, that's an exciting thing for us to be able to do. And then the other aspect of that is wanting to have what comes out of that is the perception in the market, and people get excited when these two breweries they like meet up. So I think I don't look at that as far as there's really a lot of competition overlap there, because we're making a beer at our brewery that we are then going to sell. I think that when we're fighting for tap handles and we're fighting on the shelves to try to get much space, I don't think that the collaborations we're doing affect that very, very much. I don't think it affects it in the mind of the beer buyer very much at all. And the beers that we're doing are one-offs and specialties. And we are always doing one-offs and specialties, but we don't do a lot of that stuff out there in the market when it comes to bottles and cans. So they're not competing on the store. The beer I brewed with Copper Point in no way competed with Wizard Wit or Single in Havana or one of my staple beers any more than it competed with their amber lager, you know?
Well, it makes sense. So, but when it comes down to the point of growing your brewery, would you say for a brewery, it's better to collaborate or it's better to kind of not collaborate and just focus on the breweries that are in their competition? So for instance, if there was another Belgium focused brewery in Northern Florida, would you consider competition with them, or would you think of collaborating with them to make both of your brands grow?
I think that we'd always consider collaborating with people. And see, the competition in Florida has changed a lot since when I started doing this so many years ago, because when we started, there was less than 100 breweries in the state. And now my joke is walk into a craft beer bar, throw a rock, whoever you hit's opening a brewery tomorrow. So it's a very, very different landscape. That's so even with the brewery that we are in direct competition with one of our brands, I'd still consider doing a collaboration with them, because I don't think it comes down to brand. It comes down to the brands that you're trying to push. And yes, there's an exposure aspect to this. And if you do a collaboration with a brewery that has a fan base that is not familiar with you, you will get more exposure with those people, and maybe you make a fan out of them. So the best case scenario is that you're able to get that kind of exposure. I think that it's harder and harder to stick out with collaborations and to get them out. Basically, a lot of times we end up preaching to the choir. We do a collaboration with the brewery, and it's only with another brewery, but it's only available at our two breweries or our one brewery. And it doesn't end up on store shelves. So the exposure sometimes is minimal, but you do get a little bit of a pop from social media and having pictures and showing that the craft beer industry is not like other industries where it's just cutthroat every day. Awesome. So we consider doing collaboration with pretty much anyone. I like to have personal ties and personal reasons to do it, not just marketing related. The last collaboration we did actually was with the brewery in Illinois.
Oh, wow.
One of our bartenders, her mother owns the brewery. Oh. And we had some weird connections where we shared some messages on Facebook and Instagram even before she started working there. And then one day we're like, why don't we just do a collaboration? And we did a beer, and it's, it was a small blip for them. I flew up to do the collaboration. It was a small blip for us, but it was a lot of fun, and it was a good story to tell. And that's what I feel like most collaborations end up being. Now, when you get two mammoth, if you talk about Cigar City doing a collaboration with the brewery out of California, that's going to get a lot of publicity. And that's the kind of thing that probably really does a lot for the marketing aspect of things. Mm-hmm. But in my small little corner of the world, collaborations are about having fun, about telling a story. And I don't really worry a lot about competition when it comes to that.
That was a great answer. That was a great answer. So it's led into, basically you kind of talked about it, but let's get a little deeper on how collaboration does help a brewery with its branding. You just brought up a great point, two big breweries working together does help with the social media aspect and branding and awareness. You want to go in a little deeper about that?
Well, it does, because it's the same. It's a bigger picture of what I mentioned a little bit earlier, the fact that you expose other people that might not. When you walk into, if you're in Florida and you walk into a Total Wine and More and you look at a sea of beer, it's impossible to stand out mm-hmm. in that sea of beer. And you have people that become huge fans of Funky Buddha or Barrel of Monks or Cigar City. They'll be the bigger giant Florida breweries or the little brewery around the corner that's kicking out 500 barrels a year. And when you become a fan of that brewery and you see them working with somebody else, you go, oh, well, I've never tried a beer from that brewery, or I haven't tried a beer from that brewery in a long time. But if these guys like them and I like them, well, maybe I like these guys. Yeah. So I think that that definitely happens. You really only get that kind of thing when you're able to put that beer in package, in my opinion, though, because then you're able to go on the shelves. It's a tangible thing that people can buy. They can take pictures of, they can Instagram it, they can do all those kind of stuff, and they can kind of be your evangelist to talk about your beer and the brewery that you're working with. It's harder to stand out on draft. It really is. And those beers are in small quantities, and they end up going to very, usually these special one-off beers end up going to very craft-centric bars where the people are already kind of in the know. Mm-hmm. And you're kind of preaching to they're already converted for a lot of this stuff. So I think that if you're a brewery like us who did 2,000 barrels last year, and we do a collaboration with a brewery that did 2,000 barrels last year, I think you're really looking at their clientele base and vice versa and saying, hey, let's get a little exposure with each other. When you're a massive brewery, I think you're in a better situation to do those collaborations. And we've seen major breweries like Stone Brewing Company over the year mm-hmm. doing tons and tons of collaborations. And I think it worked out very well for them. And then you've had other breweries like you look at Simple Society, or maybe Wakefield out of Florida, who have built a lot of what they've done on collaboration, on going all over the place and making those connections and getting exposure all over the country for beer traders and people like that. So there's definitely a lot of different ways to cut.
Oh, wow. Hey, that was tons of good information. And obviously we can tell that you're a wealth of information, and we really do appreciate that. You got anything else for us?
No, I appreciate you having me on, and it's always fun to talk about these kind of things. I'm like you, I find a lot of this very interesting, and the ground is always shifting. It's always moving in not just the larger market, but in our little neck of the woods in Florida, from the whole state down to our counties. So things are always moving. Things are always changing. Right now, we're obviously going through one of the strangest times that we ever hopefully are going to experience. Yeah. And a lot of breweries are struggling mm-hmm. and we're all doing our best just to go out there and make beer, support the people, our staff, keep them on as much as we can, as long as we can, and produce the best beer we can so that when the floodgates open up, that people can come in and come to our tasting rooms, buy the beer out there, and we can continue doing what we've been doing in Florida, which is making great, great beer and exposing more and more people to the joys of craft beer.
Absolutely. And you guys have done a great job in that. And for me, my advice is if you're ever in the Tri-County area, definitely stop by Barrel of Monks. And if you're a stout lover, the parade, right? Parade of Souls.
Parade of Souls. The Parade of Souls, yeah. And Parade of Souls is a seasonal, so we actually don't have it right now. But if you're out there in the market and you're going to your Total Wine and More's, your Whole Foods, places like that, the Wizard Wits are flagship beer. That's the beer that puts yes. food on the table. It keeps the lights on. It comes in a six-pack Belgian wheat beer. We're very proud of that beer. We also have Single in Havana, which is a Belgian blonde ale with guava. which is in a six-pack now, is our most popular seasonal beer that has now gone year-round. Our Three Fates Triple is also available. So there's plenty of product in the small format package. And then if you're walking out in a bar and you see a barrel amongst tap handle, Wizard Wit's most likely the one there. And I encourage you all, hopefully you'll give it a try and you'll enjoy it.
Absolutely. So if you want to connect with Barrel of Monks, their website is barrelofmonks.com. And on Facebook and Instagram, that's Barrel of Monks, and available on Untappd at Barrel of Monks Brewery. And thank you, Kevin, for coming out and giving us that knowledge when it comes down to collabs and your brand. And we appreciate you having you on this episode 1 of The Craft Life. And thank you very much.
Thank you.